But infant baptism, of course, they do have a scripture that they lean on for infant baptism. Baptism of infants, okay? Because sprinkling and baptizing babies go hand in hand. Now, in most cases, I'll get into the exception in a moment. But what you have to understand is that false doctrines, 99% of the time, have a scripture that they lean on. But that scripture never comes right out and says what they want it to say. Okay, do you understand what I mean by that? So a false doctrine never has a clear verse that just explicitly says, hey, baptize babies. Because if so, then the Bible would be filled with contradictions. No, false doctrine never has a clear scripture. It always has a scripture to lean on, a supporting scripture, taken out of context and misused. But it never has a clear, explicit scripture, okay? Now, this is the verse that I've been most often confronted with by the baby baptizers of this world, by the Protestants of this world, when they want to justify baptizing babies. And if you look at their catechisms of John Calvin and Martin Luther and the people that they look to that taught this stuff, who were all Catholic priests to begin with, you know, that later broke off and whatever. Remember, according to them, you know what Martin Luther said? I never left the church. The church left me. So they never broke off anyway in the first place. But this is the scripture they'll point you to, because here's what the baby baptizers say. Baptism is the new circumcision. Who's heard this argument before? Oh, wow, no one. Okay, well, I guess you need to go out and, you know, give the gospel to some Protestants. But anyway, you know, I've talked to them over and over again, and they'll say basically, because, I mean, how else could they justify baptizing a baby? So the main argument is, baptism is the new circumcision. In the Old Testament, they circumcised what? Babies. So in the New Testament, we're going to baptize babies. Now, I know it's a stretch. I know baptism and circumcision are real different, but that's what they say. Now, this is the verse that they get that from. So let's show both sides and show you where they're getting this from. Colossians 2, verse 11 says this, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. Now, let me say this. Is the Bible teaching a spiritual circumcision that's not physical? Yeah. Absolutely. It says, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So what they'll say here is that, see, verse 11 says circumcision and verse 12 says baptized. So therefore, circumcision and baptism are the same thing, and baptism's the new circumcision. But here's the thing that they're getting wrong. We don't have to wonder what the new circumcision is, because the Bible tells us over and over and over again, even already in the Old Testament, what it means to be circumcised of heart. Right. We don't have to wonder about it. Because all throughout the Old and New Testaments, there's talk of a circumcision made without hands, okay? Just to turn to one place, go to Philippians 3. But while you're turning to Philippians 3, let me remind you of the verse I've reminded you of so often, which is Romans 2:28, which says, good night, the page is missing from my Bible. This is an old Bible that has pages ripped out, unfortunately. Here we go. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, listen carefully, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Let me ask you something. Is baptism taking place in your heart or is it outward? Outward. Baptism's outward. He says that the circumcision not made with hands is not outward, it's in the heart and in the spirit. And not only that, but in Romans 2:29, he says, whose praise is not of men but of God. Let me ask you something. Could baptism bring the praise of men? It's outward. Yeah. People are seeing it. You're doing it before men. The Bible says that the spiritual circumcision of the heart is inward. It's not outward. So to say, well, baptism is that circumcision, wrong. Baptism is not the spiritual circumcision. Look what the Bible defines as the spiritual circumcision. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which have been baptized. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No. It says in Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. According to the Bible, what it means to be circumcised of heart is when you rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, meaning that your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, not in your own flesh. Your faith is in Jesus, and you're worshiping God in the Spirit. That's what it means to be circumcised of heart. It's by faith. Now, does faith take place in your heart? Of course, faith is in the heart. But does baptism take place in your heart? See, it doesn't make any sense, folks. So actually, what Colossians 2, 11 and 12 is doing is in verse 11, it's talking about being saved, circumcised of heart, meaning that you rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then verse 12, what follows faith in Christ? Baptism. So he's saying in verse 11, you've been saved. And in verse 12, he's saying you've also been baptized. He's not equivocating the two. He's not saying, you know, circumcision is baptism or salvation is baptism. Wrong. False. But that is the main verse. In fact, if you just go to, you know, if you want to just go to like Wikipedia and type in infant baptism, the verse that they keep bringing up is Colossians 2, 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. And like I said, I was just talking to a Dutch Reformed guy who pulled out his Bible because I said, show me that in the Bible that baptism is the new circumcision. Where did he take me? He took me to Colossians 2, 11 and 12 and said, there it is right there. And I said, you know what it says? Buried with them in baptism in your proof text. I said, you're taking me, because he looked at baby Stephen and said, I'll bet he's not even baptized. I'll bet you haven't even baptized baby Stephen, because my family was there. And I said to him, I said, well, you know what? None of your kids are baptized, because this guy had adult children. He had children of all ages. And he said, your baby's not even baptized. Shame on you. And I said, shame on you. None of your family's baptized. You're not even baptized, because sprinkling is not baptism. Amen. And you're going to pontificate about how my baby isn't baptized? But in reality, the Bible clearly teaches that before we are baptized, we must believe in Christ. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, what doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? And the Bible says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That means if you don't believe it with all your heart, you may not. Amen. How can a baby believe with all their heart? Amen. They can't do it. They don't even know their right hand from their left. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.